Well, welcome to Time Management. And just as a quick question, does anybody here today feel like you need a little bit more of time management?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in my life, it's a constant reminder and a constant refining, and I think it is for most of us, but it's always good to rethink it because truly the Success Star smile I sent out today was about time. And what we know, of course, is that everything has to happen within the context of the 24 hours we get. And the interesting thing is it's the most equal system there is. It doesn't matter what education or wealth or anything that anybody else has, we only have 24 hours with what we're dealing with. And I think there's so many ways to take care of what's necessary in our lives and expand time. And really, it's not so much the idea of expanding time, although that would be nice. Who would like to expand their time? Anybody need more hours in your day, if you could?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that's one of the things we feel. But the other thing is, in not just that 24-hour period, but over a week and a month, when you look back and you say, wow, a whole month has passed, and I was going to do something with that information, or a whole month has passed, and I was thinking about calling that person, how could 30 days have gone by? And then another 30, and another 30, and before you know it, it's another year. And that sounds kind of depressing, except that when we realize that we've got to be wide awake and aware of what our goals are, every day of the week, maybe we could have one day off a week where we say, I don't care what my goals are, I just want to veg. That's okay. But if we're going to feel a sense of satisfaction in our lives, we really need to have that goal or the ideal or what it is we want to do in front of our faces every morning. So just as a quick questioning here, who on this teleseminar has their goals written or posted somewhere where you see it in a day? How many say yes or no?
No.
Say yes if you do. There's a no, okay?
Yes.
Anybody with you? Yes, that was Julie, right?
Andy.
All right, I'm a no. Andy. Okay, excellent. Because what happens to us is we get caught up in the detail of the day, and we don't generally get back to saying, where am I? What is it I really want? What are my goals? And so many of us are afraid to even write goals because we're thinking, well, so many things could interfere. Yeah, that's true. So what? We still have to make our goals. Everyone has to make goals knowing that some of it is 100% within my control, and some of it is not 100% within my control. But when we make those goals and have them in front of our faces, we are much more likely to do things every day that further that activity, and we feel like instead of having gone through a day with our heads in the sand, just responding to what is absolutely urgent at the moment and has to be done this instant, and we are reacting and reacting and reacting to what has to be done, we are able to lift our heads up and look around and say, okay, now it's time for choice. What do I want to do with my minutes and my hours? So let me, now that I know pretty much everybody has access to either looking at what's on your screen for the handout or it's in a printed form in front of you, right? Is that right for everybody or pretty much?
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you don't, then you can still jot yourself some notes. And so what I'll ask you to do right now, so you can all relax and you can clear your throats and you can eat your lunch if you want, is to go ahead and press star 6 so you feel ease of movement and motion. And star 6 will mute you. And then when we get to the conclusion of the comment portion and question and answer portion, you can unmute by pressing star 6 most of the time. Sometimes it locks you out like I've had happen to me. So really, the title of this seminar, the full title, is Time Management, How to Rethink Your Attitude Toward Time and Get More Done Peacefully in Your Day. So number one is how to tell whether you need time management. Maybe you don't. Letter A says, your environment is blank. And the word I'd like you to put in that blank is cluttered. Anytime you have things that are building up, mail, bills, stacks of horizontal files, in other words, paper upon paper that needs to be filed, it is really hard to get your head clear and think about what your choices are because you're looking at a stack of necessities. And it's hard to then expand and say, okay, how can I create my life? At letter B, it says, you spend time blank frequently. And the words I'm looking for in there are looking for stuff. So at letter B, you spend time looking for stuff frequently, whether it's a paper you were supposed to file, whether it's a bill, whether it's your keys, whether it's an item of clothing, whether it's a pair of shoes, you spend time looking for stuff frequently. Letter C says, you feel a sense of blank about time. And that word would be frustration. You feel a sense of frustration about time. Maybe you're feeling like you're galloping all the time. And I know that's true for me. I feel like I'm galloping all the time. I think that's partially due to doing all the businesses I'm doing and in a high learning curve. There are times when we are in a higher learning curve, and that takes more time than when we are settled in and pretty comfortable with what we know and we're putting it to use. At letter D, it says, you feel a lack of blank, and the word is focus. And when you are on top of your game and you are on top of your time management, you know exactly what's on your to-do list. You know how much time you think it should take you to do it, and you have actually scheduled a time to do it in. The reason so much doesn't get done on so many people's plates is they haven't figured out how much time it should take, and they haven't scheduled it in. When you say, I'm going to go through papers on my desk, it's like a big yawn, a so what, unless you have something in it scheduled, like I'm going to spend 30 minutes doing it, and I'm going to start it at 10:30, and I'll stop at 11, unless I really feel like keeping on going. So letter E, the last one says, you don't respond quickly to what? And it could be to people calling you and leaving messages. It could be to correspondence from email. It could be that you just feel like you're getting behind on things you need to do. You don't respond quickly to birthdays or anniversaries or things that are timely. And certainly we've all done those things, and it depends on what's going on in our lives. If there's some urgency and emergency, it's easy to forget some things or let some things go. But if you have a lot of people in your family that say you send birthday cards to, and you always realize that you're getting them out late every single year. I have been guilty of that in the past. But the thing I do congratulate myself on is that I actually managed to do it. And so that should be a big pat on your back. Now, so that is the question, how to tell whether you need time management. Those are the five biggest ones. But I would also add to that, if you don't feel that you're moving toward the goals you have, and you say, what's happening to my time? Where is it melting away? Why is time getting away from me? And that really would be probably falling under letter C, where it says you feel a sense of frustration about time. But here is the next big question. Number two, it says list at least three daily experiences that make you feel that you're on top of it all. So here's some suggestions and some ideas about what I mean here. What would be an event that would help you give yourself a pat on the back? Could it be something like cleaning up a mess that needed to be cleaned up for several days or several weeks or several months? Maybe you've actually started tackling some big projects like the attic or the garage or the storage unit. That certainly would make you feel good. But I'm looking at more of a daily level. And it could be that you say, well, I'm always on time. But for some people, they might say, I was on time to everything I committed to today, and I was ahead of time. Or is it on time and ahead by 3 minutes, and I congratulate myself because that's a biggie for me. And so that would be an experience that you would say, wow, I did that. I was on time. That changes my self-image, and it really can. And another one could be maybe when you go somewhere where you need to be and you're not only there, but you are prepared to be there. Maybe you've read something. Maybe you're at a meeting of an association, or you are going in to speak with someone and you have things that you needed to bring with you, and you feel that you've researched it in advance, you're comfortable with what you've learned, and you feel really good about it. So that's another biggie as a daily experience, or in a particular job or in a particular situation where you walk in and you feel that you've done your homework, you have a really good idea of what you're walking into, and you feel a sense of self-confidence. Those are some daily experiences that have to do with time and managing of time that would give you good feedback about yourself. So what I'd like you to do right now is write down at least three experiences like that in a day that would make you feel a sense of, wow, I'm really getting it together. It doesn't matter if it lasts till tomorrow, but for this moment, and you remember those times, what has made me feel good about myself and my use of my time? So take a minute to write that in there. Now I'd like you to look at number three. What causes you to get behind in your day? If you have a to-do list, what happens that gets you off track? Or what causes you to feel a sense of being rushed, too rushed in a day? Or what causes you to feel that you cannot get it all done? And in other words, what are the barriers or the interrupters or the things that really get you off track that you have experienced from time to time? Maybe not today, but maybe yesterday, maybe last week, maybe the week before. What are those things that cause you to feel like you want to throw up your hands and you can't seem to get control of it? Write those at least three things down. And now what I'd like you to do, I know you're probably still writing, but I'd like you to press *6. And I would like to hear what some of your experiences are that make you feel, that give you the signal that you're on top of it. What feels good? Just even one of the things you've listed. Anyone?
I'm always, this is Julie, I'm always prepped and fully organized when I have kids over for private art classes.
Okay. And so when you, that makes you feel really good, that makes you say, I'm on top of this, it feels good. And is there any kind of time frame that you use where you say, I have to be ready half an hour before they get here, or I feel really good if I'm ready 15 minutes before they get here? What is your good feeling parameter?
As long as I know that I need to leave myself, you know, to be ready, and in my art room at least 45 minutes ahead of time, just to, if I think of some research that I need to do or just make sure that everything's laid out, give myself that 45-minute window, even if I'm still working on my own stuff, seems to be perfect timing to make sure that I'm always ready.
You know, and the reason I'm asking some of these questions is that some people would say, wow, 45 minutes. I only allow myself like 10. And I think it's really important for us to hear how other people function. And that is, it's a good thing to hear. So I thank you for that one. How about someone else? What's another one?
Check emails.
Check emails. So if you can check emails, it makes you feel like, and you mean on a daily basis, check it once a day?
Whenever I feel like it, sometimes a lot.
Okay.
It's new for me because it took years for me to even begin. And now that I am, now I'm crazy. I probably do it too much and I get too involved and don't stop. Yeah.
I think that's what everybody
time
does.
Management. Yeah. Where did the time go? Yeah.
Yes, and of course that's another thing. Checking emails is good because then you stay on top of it, but the other part of that is, and we'll talk a little about that, is how much time you're spending to even write yourself a little note. It's 1:45 and I've started checking emails and I'm starting to write emails, and then you look up and you say, wow, how did it get to be 2:20? And that is a common experience for a lot of people, and I think that's why we want to even have an idea of what time it is when we start doing that, because it's very time-consuming. Thank you. Now, what's another one?
This is Joan.
Yes.
I think for me, when I feel like I'm on top of it, is when my filing is up to date and my desk is clean.
Yeah. Yeah. Filing up to date.
Normally, and that does mess me up.
And when it is done, you feel like you are lighter and you can breathe easier, right?
Right.
Yeah, looking at a clean desk, there's nothing like it. I love that experience. Thank you. And Catherine, are you on the line?
Yes.
Okay. <Here you are. laughs> What would you say for you?
Well, I don't know. I guess a clean desk would be nice.
Well, how about something you've actually experienced?
Well, haven't experienced it in a while.
But what does, when you're on time to an appointment, don't you feel really good?
Yes.
Yeah, or when you're on time for a meeting or something like that. So being on time to something, I know that's very important. And when you are, and you're at the beginning of a meeting instead of walking in late, what a good feeling that is. It's an uncomfortable feeling to get there after things start. But I think that's kind of important for you, and you managed to do that quite well.
Yes,
so say it again. I'm sorry.
Just being on time and being there, just being a part of things as they get going, yes, it's so much nicer than walking in after things have started.
Yes, being a part of things, so actually getting there ahead of time.
Yes.
Okay, so being a participant. Now, this is the next big one. What causes you to get off track? And I'm going to just kind of put it out there. Julie, what causes you to get off track?
I have a habit of, I usually have a list of things and people I need to contact, you know, and those lists can be scattered all over the place. But I try to accomplish too much in one day. I expect myself to, you know, do a lot. And then I end up doing those things that a lot of times I can get done quickly and not save enough time for the things I really wanted to focus on.
Yeah, very smart. And that's a really, really excellent point, because when we see things, oh, I can get that done in 7 minutes, but that other thing that's really important to me is going to take at least 45, but I want to check something off the stupid list.
Exactly.
And, you know, the other part of that is trying to do too much in one day, and we're going to talk more about that. I really, really have seen a difference in my life and in other people's lives in their time management when they write their to-do list, and then I say, and how long will it take you to do that? And the minute people start thinking about that, then they put in, okay, well, realistically that. Now, if I add in 10% or 20%, it'll take this long. And then if you go through the whole list, you say, there is no way on God's earth anybody could get half of that list done.
Mm-hmm.
when you add up the hours and you realize that's what the problem is, then you get calmer with yourself and you turn a day's list into a part of a week's list. And you say, I will be happy if I get all these things done by Friday. And that's another piece of it. But sometimes we have time wasters that happen that really do interfere with us getting things done, that if we could stay on track with it, we could get it done. But I think that's a really good point, is having too many things on your list, and we're going to talk about the how many things on a list at a time is good, or at least how many things you're working at a time is good. So thank you. And Sandy, what gets you off? What gets you behind or frustrated or not using your time the way you want to?
So many projects that I can't focus on one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing we're going to talk about in just a minute. And it's kind of like, it's sort of what Julie is saying as well. Projects are one thing and phone calls are another, because if Julie has to make a bunch of phone calls, the one thing that's hard to assess is how long will it take. But if you give yourself a time frame, that's very helpful. And Joan, what happens with you?
Well, I think these two are kind of interrelated. I get distracted by doing the things that I like to do as opposed to the things that perhaps need to be done, and in conjunction with that, it's just not setting priorities.
Okay. But you're saying a couple of really interesting things, that yes, there are things that are the priorities, paying a bill on time, making sure that something is filed away so you don't forget about it. Those are the have-tos. But if you get, I don't know if I'd call the word distracted by the things that you like to do, because that's what our time is for, isn't it? That's
well,
what we're trying to make room
true.
For.
I think what I tend to do is I spend maybe more time than I would normally allocate doing the things that I like to do as opposed to the things that I know I really need to be doing.
Okay. And I guess, you know, there is a fine balance there, most definitely, because I think there's nothing wrong with having total immersion in what is giving you joy in the moment, as long as you've allocated enough time to do the other things that need to be done. I like to speed through the have-tos and give myself more room for the wanna-dos. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. That happens, and there's another way to think about that. And that, I hope, the rest of the seminar will address some of those pieces. So thank you. And Catherine, what would you say?
Well, there's just so many things to do. I'm not always sure where to start or which one is the most high priority. And my time frame isn't always realistic. 20%, I need to add maybe 40%.
Okay. And now that you know that about yourself, that's a very good thing. They add 40%. But the prioritizing issue, I think that's one of the biggest issues for everyone. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So look at page 2. There's some blanks on that next page. It says biggest time wasters and time robbers. And the first one, you can probably guess what word goes in there. Long. Long telephone calls. And sometimes a telephone call is healing. Sometimes a telephone call that's long is absolutely necessary because it's bringing you out of a slump and giving you energy. And I say that is perfectly fine. In my book, it doesn't fall under the category of telephone call. Then it falls under the category of personal timeout or therapy. Because I think we need that. I know that we need that. But we also need to be very aware of how much time we are spending on each call. All of my phones have this magical ability to tell me how long I've been on a call. And sometimes it will get off of a call and say, "You're kidding me." I had no idea we had talked that long. The next one across from it is indecision. And that's kind of what Catherine was talking about just now is prioritizing. Where do you begin? And you certainly need to ask yourself the question, what is most important to get done today? And I tell you that your inner self, your intuition, your own mind, will give you an answer when you ask the right question. When you ask the right question, you frame it in those terms. What is the most important thing that needs to be done today? And that will tell you what your A1 priority is, and maybe your A2 priority, maybe your A3 priority. But when you ask the right question, the right answer just magically comes from within you. So the next line says complication and blank, and that is confusion. And complication and confusion can happen when you approach a task that you thought you could get done, like filling out a form, and you discover you need your birth certificate. Or you approach an activity like repotting a plant, and you realize you don't have something that's going under it to catch the water, and you have to go to the store to pick something up to complete that task. Have you ever, anybody here, ever had that experience where you set out to do something, and all of a sudden you discovered you had at least one other thing to do?
Oh, yeah.
Domino effect.
Or maybe 12 other things to do. So it could be added in there, complication, confusion, and not the right preparation for what you had on your list. Because the thing that should have gone on your list might have been go pick up a saucer thing for the plant. That should be my thing I do today. Tomorrow I'll repot it.
But then when you start something, you can find other directions you have to go because you get information that changes it.
And that's another piece. Yes. You start it, and then you get information that changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the great unknown, I think, for everyone, is at least we approach these things, but that's another reason for starting things early. Like, say there's a deadline on something for tomorrow. If we start on it and then discover there were all of these other pieces that needed to be done, it's mind-blowing. And so whatever our deadlines are, we need to give ourselves at least 3 to 5 days ahead of time, depending on what it is. Not sending away for a passport, that needs to be another 6 weeks. But when we're looking at most things, 3 to 5 days ahead of time, just in case something unexpected happens. And those things, I mean, so many of us depend on things being done immediately and overnight and right away. I know I certainly have. I've gone online to do things only to find out, oh, the system is down right now. We aren't updating. You can't pay a bill. And so the ideal is to stay ahead of it as far as you can. 3 to 5 days is good. But that's something else, is to break down an activity into its parts. And you don't know sometimes what all the parts are until you take a look at it. And then you list the subparts of each thing that needs to be done. I mean, for repotting a plant, you have to go out, and if you don't have the soil to put it in, if you don't have the pot to put it in, if you don't have the saucer to catch the water, all of those things, each one is a subheading, and maybe you can do all of the picking up of stuff in one time, but sometimes you forget, and you don't. And so to ask yourself what needs to be done before I can do that is a very good thing to do. But just making a start at it is the key also, and that sometimes gets interrupted by perfectionism. And a lot of people make themselves feel really, really uncomfortable with a sense of perfectionism. Like maybe they send the card on time, but they think, I just kind of grabbed the card. I didn't spend a lot of time trying to find the right card, and I feel really bad about it. One of the goals of time management is to help ourselves feel good about ourselves. It's a much bigger picture than just handling minutes. It's being able to say, hey, it was a good thing I did that. And even if I would have liked to find another card and I could have gone to 3 more stores to find it, I didn't do that. I got it off on time instead. And so perfectionism gets in our way for some people, not for everybody. But perfectionism can ruin our experience of life. And I am just suggesting that to say, I got this much done, giving yourself a good point at which to pat yourself on the back and say, I did this. And that was my benchmark, to do it And this year, I actually did it on time. That's two benchmarks. And having the perfect card is just not in the picture this year. Has anybody ever done that where you said, oh, I could have gone to another store and another store?
I'm horrible at beating myself up. Never good enough. No. Sometimes, though, I'm really happy when I am.
Yeah, when you get it done and you say, wow, I really did that well, then hopefully you're soaking up enough good vibrations to say, making up for all the times that you've beat yourself up. But that the whole idea here is to help ourselves feel more comfortable in life. Now, the next line says blank activities, and the word that really goes in there is no payback activities. And it's hard to sort out the no payback activities from the payback activities. Sometimes we can figure it out in advance, and sometimes we can't. I was just on the phone on a mastermind call last night with our mastermind group, and one of the people in the group is a minister from Nashville. And he said he was invited to a leadership conference in San Diego, and he was planning to go. And he said, and then I took a look at the list of what was there and knew that I had heard every person give the title that they were about to talk about, and it really didn't seem like I would get a lot of benefit from it, and I would probably feel frustrated having spent 5 days doing it. So I didn't go. If we could all determine in advance what would feel good, we would be so far ahead of the game. But instead, what we usually do is try to find something to make us feel good about the time we spent. If our first inclination is to say, well, that was a waste of my time, it's more a waste of our time if we end up beating the drum of saying, oh, that was really awful, that was really awful. But if someone's asking you to do things that are consistently not on your track of what's good for you, then we all need to learn how to say no. And that's something we're going to talk about a little bit in a couple of minutes. But that is very, very important, to be able to sort out what doesn't feel good. And it might be your stuff. It might be somebody else asking you to do something. The next line says blank tasks. And the word in there is incomplete. Incomplete tasks. They are the biggest time waster you can ever imagine. You can't always finish every task in the moment when you're hot for it, when you've got all your tools there to do it, but to finish it as quickly as possible is really important. I just went to a tile store to get the last 5 pieces of tile I need of marble tile for a tub surround, only to find out A, they do not have the tile any. They don't have the tile in stock, and B, they don't expect to have it ever again. I just have to laugh. That's all I can do. So the next line says, blank to put things away. And the word in there is failure to put things away. A lot of people say, if I leave things out, I'll see that I need to do it. And I say, no, 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 no. Make yourself a big list of things on bright yellow paper, maybe, but don't let it sit out and sit around. It just junks things up. It doesn't really remind you that you need to do it, because I am fully convinced that after about 3 hours, anything you have sitting anywhere suddenly becomes a fixture that you think has been there forever, and it's supposed to be there. And finally, the last one is interruptions. If you can work on something without being interrupted, and you have this great flow of energy and activity, it will be done so much faster than if you take a phone call in the middle of it, or if you stop to talk to a neighbor in the middle of it. Try to block time in as big a blocks as you need. That will help you get it done. But in the alternative, if that stops you from ever starting something, if you say, well, I can't find 2 hours, so I'm just not going to start it at all, don't do that either. Break the task down into smaller pieces and say, okay, I can do this part of it in 30 minutes, and I can do this other part of it in 45 minutes, and then I'll take a chunk of another hour to complete the rest of it. But try to limit your interruptions. That's going to be really, really good for you to get things done a whole lot faster. And you will see yourself having much more reclaimable time and much more satisfaction because you're able to get to the things that really are satisfying to you and emotionally fulfilling. So right now I'm going to ask you to write down at least two things you would do if you had the time. I know that's a very wide open question, but it's a very important one. Write at least two things you would do if you had the time. And you might even say something like, I would complete this tomorrow if I had a block of 10 hours to work on it. That's exactly how I feel about my website. But that's an unrealistic, impossible kind of thing. So I'm not going to ask you what you wrote there. I want you just to be thinking about it. I want you to think about it in two ways. One, how can you break that down into smaller tasks? And two, just how much time would you need to have to make that happen? I want you to guess at it. I know that in some cases you're thinking, I can't possibly guess at it, but I want you to put a number there. Even if you write down 40 hours, fine. Now you can set up a plan of 40 hours and you can make a check mark for each hour, half hour you spend on it. But just to give yourself an idea of how you really want to be living your life, what's really important to you, what would really give you freedom of mind and expression, what you really need to get off your plate so you can move to the next thing. So let's now move to the question of how do you get that additional time? What can you do to reshape some things? And the first question is very important. What can be streamlined in your daily life? What can be streamlined? And typically I would ask you to say, how much time does it take me to get dressed and ready in the morning? How much time does it take me to eat breakfast? How much time does it take me to get going? What do I do that I could do with a little bit more streamlining? I look at things like, and I'm sure you do too, if I'm making myself my cup of instant coffee in the morning, if I'm doing that, where is everything situated? And I changed all the cupboards around so that everything I need is right in front of me on one cupboard. Something's in the refrigerator on one side, something's in the microwave on the other side. My cup is there in the middle. Everything I need, my cinnamon, is there in the same cupboard above that same counter. And you think, okay, well, how much is that shaving off? Well, it's probably shaving off 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but just the concept of I can put this all together in less than 30 seconds makes me feel really good. And what about your closet? Where are things in your closet for streamlined purposes? Are you hanging clothes together that make you feel really comfortable when you go in to pull something out of there? Are you putting the casual clothes with the casual clothes and lining them up by color? Are you putting the more sophisticated clothes with those same type of clothes so that when it's that kind of occasion, your mind isn't all over your closet? Are you streamlining things so that you have lists made before you, I'm sure Julie, for example, has lists made before the kids come in for the art lessons that she says, I have to do this and this and this and this. Is that right, Julie? You don't make a new list each time, right? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Or at least 90% of your list is probably the same, and you change a couple of things.
And all the projects are kind of different, but some of it I can just kind of keep in my head. Others of it I do just write down and just I keep different folders for different kids. And that helps a lot.
There you go. Yes, different folders for different kids. You can look back at that so that you're relaxed. You've got it written down. It's pretty accessible. And that, what are things that we need to do? If you have a bill-paying system that you have on a calendar so that you don't have to go nuts, you write these things down, and I've got a little block system that I say, these are all the bills that have to be paid every month, and they're written when I have to pay them, not when they're due, but when I have to pay them. And you go down that list, and you put in the little square when you paid it. And it is a very comforting thing. You can have that hanging on a wall or put it on the front page of a notebook that's a financial notebook. But to keep that all in one place so that you aren't having to hold it in your head, because that creates tension. Anything you have to put in your head is something and that you don't have an external reference for creates tension, and we're trying to get more relaxed in our life. So think about that. I want you to write down a couple of things if you can. If maybe you've got it all streamlined, but quite possibly, like for example, where do you put your receipts that you go out and shop in a day and they go into your purse? Do you immediately have a place to file it? And how do you divide up your files to get ready for taxes so that at the end of the year you don't have to go crazy saying, let's see, I need to divide all of these up. They aren't just in one big packet. And there's so many ways we can organize our lives so that we don't have those moments where it dams up and we have so much to do, we're just super overwhelmed. When I come back from someplace, I will sort out my receipts into four, five, or six envelopes, and it'll just be as smooth as silk. It goes into those envelopes, depending on what business it is, depending on whether it's personal business, utilities. I have three file folders for credit cards, utilities, and telephone, because those are the three big arenas in my business life, and then all the receipts go in a certain place. Asking yourself, how am I dividing up that stuff of my life? But we have filing systems, we have eating, we have clothing, we have appointments and schedules, and you think, if I can create systems to make this smooth, I will be so much more relaxed. And letter B says, what can be simplified or, I love the word, eliminated? What can be eliminated? In other words, things like, instead of trying to paw through all the stuff in the closet, is it really time to let go of some of that stuff? Is it time to let go of some things and give them to charity because you haven't worn them in 2 years or more? Are there pieces of jewelry that you just can't stand because they hurt your ear when you put it on? Are there things that you really should clear out? And are things all in order so that you can... You just simply don't have to deal with it anymore. Have you cleaned out the expired food so that you don't have to say, gee, I wonder if I should eat this yogurt. It expired in September. And to get through things and remove things that need to be removed so that your space can be as clear and as smooth as possible. And letter C says, what time of the day or week is best for focusing on your short-term and long-term goals? And that means these are the things outside of the daily urgencies of activities and meetings. When you say, for example, I'm only guessing here, but for example, Julie is trying to get her business launched. She has to set aside time other than current money-making activities, other than current responding to to-dos in the moment. She has to set aside time that's adequate enough so she can see her business moving forward. And Julie, does that take effort?
It does, and that's an area I really need to improve upon, too, because I get started on it and then I get distracted, or you know, I know I've got a class coming and I haven't done a good job at allotting that specific day or time to make that flow better.
And I am going to make a suggestion for that for everybody. We have to make appointments with ourselves. Everybody needs to have a daily day timer or a book where you are writing down what your activities are. And the only way important projects get done is if you block them out on your calendar and let nothing interfere. That you make it as important as any money-making activity is the preparation for the money-making activity. Or that you, somebody, anybody writing a book, anybody painting a painting, anybody getting ready to create a business and they're in the learning phase of it, you would say, gosh, I don't know if I should spend time doing this right now. But the urgency of it is, unless you do it, It will never produce the income you want. So it's part, it is producing income. It is. But we have to schedule it and make it important. We have to make a date with ourselves. We have to make that appointment and let nothing interfere. When somebody says, do you have that time open? You look at it and say, gosh, I'm so sorry, but I don't. That is booked. And women, ladies, never, never tell each other what it's booked for. And you know why? Because other women have great sway over each other. And they can say something like, oh, you could do that later, couldn't you? That's, you could just come on with me right now. There's a great flea market down the street, or there's a great sale going on, or there's really something really fun we should go do, or just take some time out and go with me to listen to this music. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Say, I've got an appointment, please. I knew a woman that did that. She was a television producer, and she got a heck of a lot done every day. And I knew darn well every time she had said she had a meeting, it was something that she had scheduled either for herself or with somebody else. It was a meeting with herself sometimes. And she was an amazingly productive person. So that's definitely a key. And so the question is, again, what time of day? Are you better at carving out some morning time for yourself? And say, okay, the first 2 hours the phone doesn't usually ring, the kids are in school, or things are happening that I don't usually have to respond to until later in the day. And my question also is, if you schedule things that are important to you to do in the later afternoon, like maybe 3 to 5 or 3 to 4 or 4 to 5, do they get actually done, or because you're getting behind on your other activities, do they push away, push out the times you say, gosh, I just ran out of time. I didn't have time to do the things that were there for me to learn from and to really get moving on to create this. So to truly answer that question, when do you do your best work to further your own life goals? Because if you're not using your 24 hours to add to your life goals, it's not what you want to be doing with your time and your life. Letter D, it says, what needs to be put in order in your life? And maybe some of the things I've been saying right now have struck a few chords. I know some of you are extremely organized. You have file folders for things. You have a calendar. You have a day timer. You know where your time is going. There may be a few things that could be put in order. Maybe it's your closet. Maybe it's your kitchen. But these are all things that one after another we need to be doing. And, of course, you can't spend your whole life organizing. You have to be being productive and doing in the present moment as well. And I would say if you're in a big time of reorganizing things, I would say you could spend as much as 3 or 4 hours for no longer than 3 or 4 days putting things in order, just putting things in order. But after that, start living your life and then minimize that, maybe put it down, make it 2 hours a day or 1 hour a day. But life is not about just unraveling the past. We have to get on with the present and the future. So mark down the amount of time you're going to use to unravel the past, but then say, and now I am living in the present in the rest of these hours. Because I know that people can get really involved in organizing and organizing and organizing and organizing, and that's great at certain times. And then, hey, come on back to the present and start moving along, and then go back and continue organizing. It's good to get a chunk of it done. And then make a list of what else needs to be done and put that up on the wall and make that your checklist and go back in and say, okay, which part do I want to do now? Now, that letter E is a very important question also, and I want you to think about this. This is hard to sometimes divide up in your mind, but for example, what percent of your time goes to urgent but not important versus important but not urgent, or urgent, but not, oh, I'm sorry, that's repeated. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's not right. Urgent, but not important. Important, but not urgent. The next one should say urgent and important, and then finally, not urgent and not important. So the third one is wrong. Urgent and is important. Now, which one of those do you suppose should be your top priority for any day?
urgent and is important.
Yes, urgent and is important. And that has to be done. It's like, this is the day. This is the final day. It must be done. So you ask yourself the question, put a number one next to the third one. That is your number one priorities should be able to, you should be able to answer yes to. Is this urgent and is it important? Yes. So if Joan is going to a Monday morning meeting of other business owners, it is urgent because it's happening today. And is it important? Yes, it's important. So that is a high priority. But what might be, in your book, urgent but not important?
Cleaning the closet.
Yeah, especially if it bugs you in the moment. Yeah. If it bugs you in the moment, it might feel urgent, but if you have other things that are more important, that are urgent and important, you had better let the closet go and get to the meeting or whatever it is. Because that's a way to just determine. There are times when we just get really frustrated and we tackle something that maybe should have waited. However, on the other hand, here's something else I believe in very strongly. If you would write this down, follow the energy. Follow the energy. And that means to me, when I feel a real irritation or urgency to get something done, and I have the energy to tackle it right this minute, it's probably going to take me half the time it would take if I just put it on the schedule and said, now I need to do this. When I have it on my list, sometimes I'll look at, say, for example, a pile of receipts that haven't yet been filed, and I will say, on Wednesday, I won't schedule it in. I will say, file receipts when I feel like I'm ready to. And I will hit a moment where I look at the receipts and say, by God, I am ready. And I grab them and I go at the speed of light. It's not this careful, this goes here and this goes here. It's there, 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 there. And it gets done in half the time. So do follow the energy. But also ask a question like, this is in, something's important. What could be important in your life but not urgent? Maybe something that is like a bill that needs to be paid, but it's still 2 weeks away from needing to be paid. Yeah, you could do that today. But it isn't important because the deadline isn't here right this minute. Urgent but not important, it could be something like, there's many different things that come to mind, but they're only in my own context. Does anybody else, besides getting frustrated with the closet and saying this is urgent but it's really not important, what comes up for you when you think about that? Maybe something like, I need to make applesauce out of these apples.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it tomorrow. It's sort of urgent, but it's really not important. And I wouldn't do that instead of making business phone calls, for example. And then finally, the not urgent and not important. And what falls under that category? A lot of things. And some of those things might be, a telephone call from someone who you know has a lot of time on their hands, or someone that doesn't have a real reason, or it's at the wrong time. It's just not a good time because maybe you've got a day full of activities, but it could be better in the evening. Then you would say, this is not urgent. It's not important. I can't do this right now. I can't fit this into my day right now. Is this the right timing? And then you would say, can't do it. Can't do it right now. And so I'm asking you to write in what percentage of your time goes to urgent and important. And urgent but not important. Important but not urgent. And what percent goes to not urgent and not important? And this is just a snapshot of how you're doing it right now. So what are some keys to getting more done in less time? And here's what I truly suggest. At letter A, focus on just blank to-dos before moving on to the next bunch. I truly believe in asking ourselves to just choose the top three and get them done. Just say, I'm going to think about these three, but I still have to prioritize them. Because I also believe in, what is it, number C? It says avoid. And the word at number, at letter C is avoid multitasking. What we know from experts now is when you multitask, you pretty much screw up everything you're working on.
Wow, true.
And it doesn't...
Oh, no. My life is gone.
And although I do say, I used to maybe have four or five tops spinning at the same time, now I've limited myself to two. But I've discovered that one of those two cannot be cooking. I cannot be cooking and do anything else because I invariably forget about the cooking part. But truly, to say to yourself, if I'm going to multitask, what can be done in between? If I've got something going here and it needs to dry, fine. Then I can go on over to this thing and work on this, but I need to remember to come back to this and not have so many tasks going on at the same time that nothing gets done by the end of the day. So I just try that and see how that feels to say, just get these three done before I move on to the next group of three. And maybe I get three done today. That's better than getting none done today because I have been overwhelmed with trying to make choices. And prioritize those three. And at letter B, which I didn't skip, is estimate how long each task will take. And at the beginning it says, write it down. Write it as you begin is the word that goes in there. It really means write it down as you begin. How long, when did you start doing it? When did you start the task? And it's really, you're not really in a race for time, but you are getting an understanding of how long you are taking. That gives you a clear idea. And then if something interrupts you, write that down too. Get a really clear handle on how you're doing your stuff. And at letter D, learn to say no. And women often find it extremely difficult to say no. And I think it's a very good thing for all of us to put these phrases in our lives. Here's one. I'm sorry. That just won't work for me. Now, here's the thing that a lot of women do. They explain and over-explain. I worked for a law firm, and they would ask me to take on particular activities. And I remember one conversation with one of the partners in the firm. And he asked me to do something. I was the head of the estate planning department. He asked me to do something. And I said, I cannot do that by the end of the day. And the reason why I can't do that is this and this and this and this and this. I could hear him holding the phone back away from his ear. And when he finally came back on, he said, I did not need to know all of that. I do not want to know all of that. Just net it out. Women explain because they feel defensive. If you're not the defensive type, then you don't need this advice. But you might, because it's in many of our natures to say, oh, I couldn't do that because this, I'm so sorry because I had all that to do and that to do. No, no, no. Just stand your ground, be comfortable with yourself, and say, that didn't work for me, or that doesn't work for me, if you're talking about something in the future. You do not need to over-explain yourself. The words, that doesn't work for me. Could everyone just say that? That doesn't work for me. I'm serious. We have to have those words coming out of our mouths. That doesn't work for me. And at letter E, here is a really big suggestion that's important for everybody. I want to challenge you to do this. Keep a log is what goes in. Keep an activity log for 1 week. Activity log. And the word below that is how. And the answer is keep track of every 15 minutes. Doesn't mean you have to write every 15 minutes, but every hour and the hour, look back and say, where did that 15 minutes go? Where did that 15 go? Where did that go? Where did that go? Where did that go? And then go back and look at the comparison between what you wanted to get done and where your time actually went. For a week. Just take a piece of lined paper for each day and challenge yourself to do that. Even 3 days worth of doing it will change your life. You will have the biggest ahas. Because when you find out that you have spent maybe in a day's time 2 hours on the phone, and it wasn't all that important. It really, some of it is and some of it isn't. But you might be able to say, there's an hour there that I could have saved by not having done that. Or if you do work with your hands, you might say, how can I do that better? I can get a hands-free phone so I can keep my hands busy and keep working on things I need to do. There's other things that you could do to make that worth your while. But what needs to happen is that we should be spending pleasurably. It's like spending money. And you say, I have 60 minutes in every hour, and I have 24 hours. And I choose to spend X number of hours in wonderful sleep, in blissed sleep. And the rest of my time, I am happily, cheerfully, and delightedly spending the minutes of my life, spending a minute here, a minute there, a minute there, and see yourself grinning from ear to ear as you spend those minutes that you have. You have the minutes allocated to you that everyone else has allocated to them. I also want to mention something very interesting. There's a book out there that says, it's called The 4-Hour Work Week. A very interesting little book, The 4-Hour Work Week. And one of the things he talks about in that book is delegating what you can delegate. And maybe you feel, well, of course you can't delegate your own personal learning. You can't delegate your own personal creativity. You can't delegate a lot of things. But I am also suggesting that you see what you could delegate and try to delegate all that you can. And if you can have some things that are done by phone or some things that can be organized by someone that could do it like a virtual assistant. I just heard the other day that there is a place, and I will find out where that is, but especially if you're interested, do email me, because there is a group in the Philippines that will act as a virtual assistant. An individual will act as your virtual assistant for $2 an hour. And I don't know what all they can do, and I'm not sure what all the uses are, but $2 an hour for people that speak English and are educated and knowledgeable. And it would be an interesting task to even say, what can I delegate in my life? And every one of us should be writing that down. What is delegatable? What is delegatable? And I think that's hard for creative people to find. But there are some things. And it may be that we even say, look, to free me up to study this thing I'm learning or to work on my business this much longer, if I could pay somebody $7 to go pick up my dry cleaning and pick up these items from the grocery store, would it be worth it to me to pay them $7 so I could spend an hour more on learning these things I need to learn and doing these things I want to do on getting my business ready? I think it is, but everybody has to answer that for themselves. So this concludes the time management seminar for this type of time management. There's other types of time management seminars that I have as well, but this one I think is the groundwork. And does anyone have comments or questions that came to mind?
It's not just men that have some of the problems listed. I mean, not just women. It can be men too.
In saying no, you mean, or?
It was a couple things back. I don't know what it was, but talking too much, going too much, saying too much information.
Feeling like you're making excuses instead of just saying this is my choice, period. Yeah, I think it's mostly women. I think that there's
not having to hear all that. You know, like what the guy said, I didn't need to hear all that.
Yeah. I think that it's really important for women to honor themselves and honor their adultness and honor their ability to make their own choices, that they don't need to go into a litany of reasons why. Men, and I'm saying this because this is the Women's Institute here, but I'm saying it because I know this from having taught seminars around the world for 12 years, and I see this day in and day out in business communities. The powerful women don't explain themselves. The weak women do. So to say to yourself, okay, do I really need to explain all of that? No, I don't. I can just say that doesn't fit with me. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't feel comfortable for me. Thanks anyway. That's just fine. Or why didn't that get done? Because it just didn't get into the schedule. I chose not to do it. It didn't work out. And let it be at that. Because for every additional word we say beyond that, we start feeling distraught. We start not liking ourselves. We start seeing ourselves as a child, or we start seeing ourselves as not worthy of respect. It all blends in with our self-image, our self-esteem. So to just kind of take a look at some of those things and say, that's all I need to say. Stop right there. Very, very, very important. Any other thoughts or comments or questions? Joan?
No. I'm just sitting here thinking, I probably really do have plenty of time every day. I do make some conscious choices sometimes not to do things and then later feel guilty because I didn't do them.
You know, and in that case, write yourself a note that says, I chose not to do that and I refuse to feel guilty.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I am the master of my time.
Most of the time I don't feel guilty, but there are times when I think, oh, you know, I did tell myself I was going to do that today, and somehow the day got away from me.
Yeah, well, and that's why the time log is really good. And to even say, you know, if it's something that you really don't want to do, say, well, could I do it for 15 minutes? And then sometimes we find ourselves kind of getting involved in it, like getting ready to do taxes, for example. I have to talk myself into it. Let's see, I'll do 15 minutes worth right now.
That's one thing that's sitting here on my desk waiting to be finished.
Yeah, and so if we can just back ourselves into it with just a little bit of time, sometimes then it gets easier after we get into it and you say, okay, then since I have my own interest right now, I'm going to keep going with it because I think I like it right now. And if the energy is there, follow the energy. I really recommend that. Follow the energy. And Catherine, any thoughts?
No, just need to get going on it.
Are you going to do the time log?
Yes, I think I will do that.
That would be excellent. That would be most excellent. And Miss Julie?
I'm already thinking about my goal statement to put right in front of me, and I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm just looking at all those vertical files that you were talking about and these separate stacks, you know, that have some function, but I have not quite an idea of what. I'm going to put those stacks away and write a list, like you said, so that I can have some clarity here on my desk.
Yeah, yeah. And all of that will make you feel like you are in charge of your life, everybody, that you're in charge of your life. And those, just saying, what three things are the most important first? I mean, there might be that you have nine things on your list, but what three things and then what next three things? And that gives clarity. It's amazing how much clarity. And I think that we are more efficient, we are happier, we have more self-respect when we say, these are the things I'm focusing on, and this is, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going forward, and I'm really confident in what I've chosen. That's cool. That's really great. So anybody else want to add something? Has this been helpful?
Definitely, and just a good review of things that you think about, but then you just kind of throw in the back. So it definitely has got me motivated to have at it and be better organized.
And thank you. And that good. I think just like stress management, time management needs to be reviewed once every 3 months. I really do. I think it's we have to go back to the basics and say, okay, where am I on this, and get back on track. It's a reminder and a reminder and a reminder, and it's all good for us to hear. So blessings to everybody. Here's a big group hug.
Oh, and thank you so much.
Thank you all for here. Thank you. And we will talk in the next teleseminar. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.